holidays.
Get your spook on. I feel like I roped you into this, Sarah. We all know that I love all things dark and creepy, and you are afraid of all things dark and creepy.
It's true. I am terrified. So yeah, this is going to be this is going to mean that I'm not going to be able to sleep very well.
Oh my God. I cannot wait. Do you have any personal stories you're sharing or not?
Who, me?
Yeah.
I have like a I know it's funny is not what it is. I have a story, about Esme that creeps me out, like that spooks me. It's not like a creepy ghost story or anything, but
but it's eerie. But there's an eeriness to it. All right, you guys, you are listening to the Mother Days podcast. I am one of your hosts, Teresa Palmer,
and I am Sarah Wright Olson,
and you are going to be hearing a third voice, one of my BFFs forever, Miss Susie Collins, who's already with us in the green room waiting. I am bringing her on today because she has had so many experiences which are of the supernatural kind. And one of the stories she told me a while ago, probably a couple of years ago, it haunts me in my dreams, even though I didn't even see it. I created an image in my mind because of the way she described it. And that image,
scary.
I know, the image comes to me at nighttime. I just keep thinking, oh my God, the thing that Susie saw. But whatever, it's a fictionalized version of what this thing must look like, but it's creepy enough. So I said to Sarah, let's get Susie on.
Do you know how much cashback you're leaving on the table settling for the wrong credit card? Imagine earning up to 5% cashback on your groceries for the next 30 years. Think of all that cashback on those overpriced kombuchas. NerdWallet helps everyone make smarter financial decisions today that future you will thank you for. With NerdWallet, you won't regret missing out on rewards. NerdWallet lets you compare smart cashback credit cards side by side to make the most of your everyday spending. So what could future you do with more cashback? Splurge on some fancy champagne with the gals, or order fine dining to the house and watch a good true crime doco. Whatever it is, make it happen with a smarter cashback credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply.
Shall we jump in?
Yes, let's do it.
Let's rope Susie Collins in, everyone. Whoop, whoop. Susie Poo's in the house.
Hello, hello.
Welcome.
Thanks for waiting for 2 hours to record this. She's just been on standby.
Look, it's a really great green room here, so super happy.
We have a lot of good snacks in our green room, right?
I know, and the green M&Ms just really topped it off in the bowl. Beautiful.
Green bag of Doritos, all the
Everything green.
Green soda.
You know what I love.
Ain't know what you love. Susie, she's a great one to have on because when I later talk about some of the eeriness at my house, Susie has house sat, her and her boyfriend house sit. He's the caretaker of my house. So they often house sit for me. And her boyfriend, Nick, has seen some crazy shit at my house. So I can't wait to dive into that. But Susie has a story. You have a few stories. The creepy one that I know about is the one when you were a kid, but you also had some strange occurrences happen to you when you were living in Los Angeles. In what year was it? When were you in LA?
I reckon that was, oh gosh, when was that? Like 2014 or something?
Ah, yeah, 2014.
I reckon it was around 2014.
She was,
and I was living in Laurel Canyon.
Yeah, spooky. That already is spooky.
Laurel Canyon is kind of creepy. Yeah, totally.
It's got its own vibe going on already.
It's a lot of old spirits there. A lot of old hippie musicians, and right from that time period.
Maybe I had a hippie musician just, you know, giving me a bit of a fright in the nighttime.
Isn't that where the Manson murders were too? Charles Manson? Isn't that?
That was Laurel Canyon. It was near there. I went on the murder tour because I'm Teresa and I do things like that.
You went on a murder tour?
Yes. And by the way, I'm not talking 2007 when I first got to Hollywood. I am talking about 4 years ago. I went on a murder tour of LA with my friends, the Murderinos. We sat in this bus and we drove around Hollywood. We went to all the homes where true crime had happened. So we actually went to the Manson house. It's no longer there. They've knocked it down, but on Cielo Drive, and we got out and we like walked up the street, me and my two mum friends who also have a number of children, and we're like, oh, this is so creepy. This is where they came. But yes, yeah, so
that does not surprise me, Teresa. Teresa made us go. That does not sound like you. You made us go on a tour in Wales. That was divine. That was the most. Mum fail. I was doing the worst tour ever of people that you brought Bodhi, and they were talking about like people that have been beheaded. They're like, this is where Saint Nick was tortured and beheaded, and like Bodhi was like, I'm terrified.
And like thrown in a pot of boiling oil. And I was like, oh my God. So I had to keep I said to the guy, I was like, please, like Susie's like, this is terrible. Like poor Bodhi. I was like, I need to run away with him whenever he talks about that. So I said to him, I was like, please, if you're gonna say anything that would at all be scary for kids, give me the heads up and I will peel off with him. You can do that. And then I'll come back. I was like, yeah, sure. He's like, so when the knife penetrated the heart. And I was like, dude, you didn't give me the heads up. What are you doing? But Bodhi heard enough to be like, Mom, that's terrible. Is that really how people died? I was like, I am so sorry. It did advertise that this was kid friendly. But I apologize profusely. Anyway, that was a good old mum fail in Estonia. Far out.
Oh my gosh, in Estonia.
Was that Wales or Estonia?
No, it was Estonia. It was in Estonia.
That's right.
We went on the walking ghost tour. And I would actually, at the start, I told Susie, she came to do nannying with me on A Discovery of Witches. And we were hanging out, having so much fun, exercising, listening to true crime podcasts every single day. And then we would be in the trailer blasting like these murderous podcasts, and the AD would like knock on the door and be like, hello, is everything okay? We just need you on set now. I was like, wait one second, we're right at the crux of the story. And then Susie and I, we sort of switched from true crime into this podcast called Spooked. And for everyone listening, if you're interested in ghost stories, you have got to listen to this podcast. The stories are terrifying and really exciting.
And remember, we flicked the wrong switch in the trailer, and we didn't realize that the speakers were blasting on the outside of the trailer. so we had this like spooky like stories thing just like blasting to everyone else outside of our trailer. And we're like, it's really low levels in here, like we can hardly hear this. So we like kept turning it up, and they were all like outside,
the Discovery of Witches crew, like, oh my God, this is so disturbing. Like, what is wrong with these people?
That's amazing.
Oh God. So anyway, tell us about Laurel Canyon and the ghost that spooked you.
All right. So, yeah, I was living over in LA, working. I was talking to you about this before, Sarah, when I was doing like bottle service, just being a little bottle service ditty and working retail during the day. But I ended up living with this girl that I worked with, but we had opposite shifts. So she would get home at like, you know, I'd kind of finish up maybe around 10 some nights. And then most of the time she would finish up around like 3-4 o'clock in the morning. And the house itself was this really big old style wooden, like it was beautiful in the daytime. Like it had a jacuzzi outside. It was like so stunning the day, you know, sometimes you'd see, you know, little animals running around. The next neighbor was not very close, and it was like really serene and beautiful and calm. Then it would get to night and I was terrified of this place. Like I would come home from my shift and, you know, A, it's pitch black. So I'm driving up the driveway. There's like a long, windy driveway up to the house. And it was in pitch black, and they didn't really have like a porch light or anything that would come on. And I would remember like sitting in my car, just like, no, I don't, I'm too scared to even go to the front door. So I would have to psych myself up every night just to get out of the car and sprint to the front door and try and get my key in the door and everything. So I'm already on edge. And then anyway, just so many times, this is horrific. I literally hate thinking about this, but so many times I would be home, I'd get home by myself, and I would pretty quickly take myself up to my room on the top floor. And I don't know if this is a normal thing in a lot of LA places, because I didn't have it in some of the other ones, but I don't know if it's like an older home kind of style thing. But in my bedroom and in a few of the rooms, like if on the top floor, there was great, like kind of like a great thing on the floor that you could open up and see down into the room below. I don't know if that's for like airflow or...
That might have been for that wouldn't have been for like heat or something.
Maybe heat. I don't know. It's like you could kind of like flick it either way, so it was either closed or you, if you opened it, you could see down into the floor. Like I could see into the room below. Yeah. So anyway, I would be up in my bedroom. The whole house is quiet and still and everything, and I, you know, was trying to go to sleep. This I'll just say like when it happened first, and then this is what used to happen all the time. And then, you know, I'm lying in my bed and I heard footsteps downstairs, like a full just like boom, boom, boom of someone walking around on the wooden floorboards.
Nope.
I have like full clear steps of someone walking around. And then, you know, I'm like frozen in my bed thinking, oh, my God, what's going on? Like someone's in the house. And then the alarm trips start going. So I actually... heard it in the background of, was that in your mum's place before?
Yeah.
You know, the alarms that go like front door open or motion. Like window open, motion detected, like that kind of thing. So it would start going off and it would go like front door open. And that's like downstairs. Oh, and then I'd hear someone walking around and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm like sweating. So, so terrified. I like picked up something. I can't remember what it was. I got something off of my dresser and I thought, I'm like, I'm going to have to go down and like try and bash someone over the head and run out of here. So I'm going shaking down the stairs. Like I build up the courage to unlock my bedroom door. I'm like holding this thing off the dresser, walking down the stairs and like sort of do the karate kicks around all the corners, flick all the lights on and no one's there. And the front door is not open. It wasn't open. And then I hear from, so I'm downstairs and I hear from upstairs, bathroom window open. And that,
oh,
and I'm like,
oh my God.
Oh my gosh. I'm in this like horror film of these things tripping out. And then I would hear footsteps upstairs.
I'm going to start crying. Hold on. I'm so scared. Wait, hold on. I can't. Okay. Hold on. Hold on. I'm sitting in an Airstream outside. It's dark. Should I lock it? Okay, wait. Do you have an alarm that actually says these things, or are these things just being said?
No, the alarm says that. The alarm will tell you when. So if you open a bathroom window, it'll say bathroom window open. Or like if you open the front door, it says front door open. But every time I would go, so then I'm like petrified downstairs. I run upstairs.
She's literally locking herself in the trailer right now. Oh my God. This is what happens to us, guys. It's not feeling, but it's exciting. Keep going.
So then I, you know, I go get the balls to go back upstairs. I go back upstairs. Bathroom window was not open. And it just kept happening. Like it started doing that again. I'm hearing someone walking downstairs again. I ran into my bedroom, slammed the door, locked the door, and then this is like straight out of an American horror or something. So then I hear someone in the room below me. So I have to lie on the floor and like open the grate thing up.
And I'm
just trying to look downstairs to see who's down there, because I can full blown hear someone like walking and shuffling like things around downstairs. This continued and would continue until my housemate would get home. And then for some reason, when my housemate would return home, none of this ever happened to her, by the way.
No.
No, I brought it up there, but as soon as she would get home, the whole energy in the house would completely shift and I would feel like the safest person in the most lovely, peaceful home again. It was,
oh my God, really, so it was feeding on your fear.
Yeah, it's like I attracted something that and I'm not kidding. You know, like Tahina and Amy and everyone would be like, yeah. I would be like crying on the phone to people, just being like, please, like, I don't know. And they're like, Susie, you need to move out of there. And I would be calling Nick back in Australia, who's got absolutely nothing he can do to help me. And but it got to the point where I was like, had a baseball bat I was sleeping with. So I would have a baseball bat next to me in my bed, because it happened so often that I, like 100 times a night, would have to go down and check to see if I was
being robbed. Did you ever try to become friends with the ghost? I feel like that would be a tactic. Like, hey, what's up? Like, you're welcome here. I'm welcome here. Let's be friends. Like, cool. Like, what do you like doing? Tell me about your, that would be me. I would be like, let's just like totally live together in this space.
I tried to do a bit of a harmony thing, but you know, when you just, there's just some energies that you get that are so horrible. Dark. That I don't think that was like, my body was so ridden with panic that there was no chance. Cause I've had friendly ghost encounters before and it doesn't scare me. I'm not terrified of like other things that have happened in general happening, but this was just such a nasty, nasty feeling and presence that I was petrified, like beyond petrified. I've never felt that again in my life.
I'm so scared. I'm so scared right now.
Do you know how much cashback you're leaving on the table settling for the wrong credit card? Imagine earning up to 5% cashback on your groceries for the next 30 years. Think of all that cashback on those overpriced kombuchas. NerdWallet helps everyone make smarter financial decisions today that future you will thank you for. With NerdWallet, you won't regret missing out on rewards. NerdWallet lets you compare smart cashback credit cards side by side to make the most of your everyday spending. So what could future you do with more cashback? Splurge on some fancy champagne with the gals, or order fine dining to the house and watch a good true crime doco? Whatever it is, make it happen with a smarter cashback credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet. Finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply.
This message is sponsored by Greenlight. So as your kids get older, some things about parenting gets easier, right? So we're not up in the middle of the night a million times potentially, and they can start cleaning up after themselves. They can do some vacuuming and they can help out around the house. Okay, so then other things don't, like having conversations about money. Well, the fact is, kids won't really know how to manage their money until they're actually in charge of it. And that is where Greenlight can help.
With the Greenlight app, kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely thanks to games that teach money skills in a fun, accessible way. The Greenlight app also includes a chores feature where you can set up one-time or recurring chores customized to your family's needs, and then you reward kids with an allowance for a job well done. I was thinking about this and I was like, oh, I remember being a child and my chore was I had to unload the dishwasher every day. Did I get pocket money, Sarah? No, I did not. Things are different these days. And millions of people and kids are learning about money on Greenlight. It is the easy, convenient way for parents to raise financially smart kids and families to navigate life together.
I feel like that knowledge is so empowering, and being able to give them this access is just going to make them feel so good when they go to purchase something or donate to a charity or whatever it is. So sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free when you go to greenlight.com/motherdays. That's greenlight.com/motherdays to try Greenlight for free. Greenlight.com/motherdays.
How quickly, when did you move out? Were you like, I would put on realestate.com.au, but the American version immediately trying to
West Side Rentals.
Well, like West Side Rentals. The really annoying thing was, well, not annoying, but the bad thing was that I had such cheap rent for like a really sweet.
I wonder why.
Oh no, just the ghost thief in there. But
ghost.
She's like, oh, you've got a third roommate, forgot to tell you. And I was like, oh.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, oh my gosh.
And I probably, was like $12 a day.
Probably. And I probably took the damn thing's room. It was probably like, bitch stole my bed. So it was probably angry at me.
Far out. That is mortifying.
So scary. So you're saying that happened more than once? Like it happened a lot?
Oh, pretty much every night. I think it took me.
Seriously.
I didn't sleep. I did not sleep. And I started taking on night shifts. So I started doing bottle service till about 3 a.m. just to get home at the same time as her.
And then
I would wake up at 9 a.m. and go to my retail job.
My gosh.
Yeah.
No, thanks. Tell me about the clinging ghost.
Tell me about this one.
That's okay. The thing I have in my head.
Well, I don't want to make my parents' house sound like really disturbing because I'll tell you really quickly first the nice story because they still live there. But all during my childhood, I had things happen at my parents' house that I grew up in. Really quickly, the really nice one was that there was an old lady that used to live in our house called Mrs. Hubbard, and my mum used to tell me that my heater turning on by itself was Mrs. Hubbard that used to live in our house. But she did tell me that one time my heater was not plugged into the wall, and it was one of those click on heaters, you know, those old little fan heaters that you have to like physically turn the dial, and so that was bad enough that was clicking on, but we thought, you know, that could maybe be a default. Originally we were like, oh, it could just be a faulty heater or something. But then mum was like, no, one time it wasn't actually physically plugged into the wall and it was going. And I just used to tell you that to make you feel better.
No, thank you. But Miss Hubbard was looking after you because it was probably wintry, cold Adelaide morning. She was like, I'll just chuck the little heater on for her. Bless her
little heart. She probably pulled my blanket up and I was probably like,
oh, thanks, Miss Hubbard.
I can't. That's wow.
So the bad side of things was that, and I hate this story, so I hate even saying this story, but I just remember it so vividly. And my mom and my sister remember how panicked and scared I was. So they were terrified as well because I was wide awake. It's not like I was asleep and just thought I, you know, had a dream or something. But basically, like the back lounge room of my parents is all windows, and I used to always have to have the curtains shut at nighttime because the reflection, if you look into the reflection, you can see back into the kitchen. And I used to always see like a figure walking back and forth behind me, like if I looked into the reflection. So I don't know, sometimes your mind can just play tricks on you, but I used to think I used to see like someone pacing.
Yeah.
So one night I was sitting down on the lounge and the curtains were still open. I sort of thought I saw something. So I was like, oh my gosh. And I shut the curtains and I was like scared. And then I walked into the kitchen, which has another room joining it, which is the dining room. And I turned around the corner and there was oh my gosh, I feel like such a freak even saying this. There was a woman on fire.
Oh my God.
Clinging to the air conditioner, and she turned burning. Around, like burning, and she turned around and sort of like just went and like did this like scream at me. And I ran and I was bawling my eyes out. And I was like, I ran screaming to my mom and my sister. And I told them what I saw. We were all terrified because like my mom's had experiences of her own. My sister's like, you know, had some things happen to her as well. So they full on believed me. Like they were like, you were too shook up to be faking it. So I don't know.
I don't know. How old were you when that happened?
I mean, I wasn't that. I mean, this was probably, I was either like year 7 or like early high school. So I was probably, I might've been just in high school. So it's not like I was like.
Did you think to look into like the history of the house?
Of the house.
If there was ever a fire there or
burn there?
Yeah.
I don't know. No, I don't think that. Well, I'm not sure how far back, but I don't think that there was ever a house fire. There was the old couple that died in the house before we moved in, but they were the nice feeling ones. So yeah. I don't know. And I still don't know to this day what I saw, but it was so vivid that it has stuck fresh in my mind. Like I can still see the exact.
And in mine.
And in Teresa's. And I feel like a freak saying it. I feel like an absolute freak saying it because it's like, it's so horrible. I'm like, did my mind create that? And it was just so vivid because I was so alert and aware of everything in a state. Or did I?
It's all these like unknown things where we won't, are we ever going to have answers to this? Are we ever going to know like, what is it that we're seeing? What are we experiencing when it's something otherworldly and we don't have the language to be able to describe exactly how this unfolded and what this thing is? That's when it's like, for me, like sort of exciting, but also terrifying because it's just like fear of the unknown.
Yeah, 100%.
And I had a friend who once, she had a lot, oh my gosh, she went to, we were going to try to like rent this apartment in Santa Monica and one of our best friends was living on the top floor. And then she and I were both trying to decide like, okay, am I going to rent this place? Or are you going to rent this place? It was like the bottom level of this apartment. And she ended up renting it. And then I ended up like, you know, renting with my boyfriend somewhere else. And then she started experiencing all these crazy things in this house. And I was like, and I was wondering like, you know, because she talked about how she had read this book and she like decided to be very open to these things. And she sort of like allowed herself to be open to it. And I have always been very closed off to it because I'm like, no, I don't want, nope, I'm good. Please don't enter here. So part of me wonders if there's like, you know, something with past lives, like were we someone who was open to it? Were we not someone who was open to it? Like, are you open now? Do you invite it? Like what, you know what I mean? Like, where is that when that veil is sort of blurry? Like, are we seeing something from another time, or is it something that's sort of like still lingering here? So yeah,
I love coming up with theories as well.
Yes, exactly.
This is what the theory is. Yeah, because we can only theorize, can't we? Because we like, at what point will we ever have evidence in front of us that, oh, just so you know, this is what it is. This is what it is that you guys are seeing and experiencing and feeling.
But isn't it so wild when you talk to people like your mom, or like, you know, my mom's mentioned things now. I said to Tez before she asked me to come on and tell my story, I was talking to my friend's mom about this stuff, and my friend's mom was like, oh yeah, my bed, my iron bed was rocked one night, completely rocked. Like she was lying still on her bed and said her whole iron bed was being rocked back and forth, and she thought it was her mom that had just passed away. To say, because she was pregnant and she thought it was her mum who was a midwife saying, like, rocking her, telling her it was going to be. Yeah, it was. But I was like, oh my God. And that's, you know, my friend's mum. It's so fascinating how if you start talking to.
Hearing, yes. And I feel like you'd see like the little window where they're like, should I mention this thing that happened to me? Because I feel ashamed that it happened to me and I don't really want to tell everyone because they're just going to think I'm crazy or they're going to think I'm insane. And we're here to say, we believe you guys. We believe you. I'm like, I think anything is possible, anything at all. I'm like, yeah, that happened to you. That was your experience. Wow. Tell me more. Like, I'm so intrigued about it. I've never been one of those like dogmatic people who this is what I believe and this is what I don't believe. I'm just like, cool, all things might be possible and I'm open to it. I don't necessarily want to experience it for myself, although I have. And it's a good segue into my property in Australia, which Sarah, I'm always saying how much I want you and Eric to come with the kids down and stay with us in Adelaide. We have this big, beautiful 10 acres of land. Susie lives 5 minutes around the corner. These guys look after the property for us when we're not in town. And there's a certain history there. It used to be a Christian camp. And kids would come and like stay in the dormitories. And so I don't know exactly what happened at the camp or.
Oh, geez.
I do know that it was for many, many, many years, it was just this camp with these kids coming in and out. And so that brings with it a certain kind of energy anyway. And then when we took on the property in like 1990, there, without getting into too many specifics for, you know, family privacy reasons, there have been a few very close people in my life who passed away, who lived on that property, young people. And I feel, and I know one of them, the ashes are on our land. And I feel a sense of him being around. And I know he used to stay up in the dormitory area and one of them in particular. And I know that he has been seen on our property walking by a couple of other people. They thought that they saw this person. And I have a feeling that it's not a bad energy. That's the great thing, is it's not a bad energy. It's not dark. There's just like a presence that I sense. And at times I feel like, oh, it's because I'm surrounded by nature and I'm feeling the energy of the trees and the wind, and it feels otherworldly out there because it's just so beautiful. But I think there's something else there. And there certainly is at the very bottom of my property in the derelict. You know this house so well, Susie. There's this derelict old home on my property that there's a major story surrounding that, which was like in the 80s. My neighbors were still my neighbors. They lived there back in the 80s. They were a young couple and they were raising their children. There was this man renting this house. This is before my dad owned the property. So it was prior to my dad buying it. And he experienced like poltergeist activity in this little home. So similar to what you said, Susie, he would go to bed at nighttime and then the radio would be like, come on, but it wasn't plugged in. At one point he was running down the hallway and drawers were opening and knives and forks were clanging. The heater turned on, the TV turned on, wasn't plugged in. That was the last night he spent in this little cottage. Was all of that started happening at once. Prior to that, it would be these singular events, like, you know, the lounge chair would like pop open, like spring open, you know, the ones which would go back and the like footrest would fly out, like that would just do that on its own. Or the fridge door would be left open, or the microwave would be like, bing. You know, certain things were happening that were really making this guy who was staying there feel uncomfortable. So when we bought the home, or when my dad bought the home, we met our neighbors, and our neighbors told my dad this story. They're like, hey, just so you know, the little cottage on your property, this thing happened, and he ran to us in the middle of the night one night saying it's haunted, and he saw this old woman rocking in olden day clothes in a rocking chair on the front porch. And he panicked, ran to the next door neighbors, and never went back to the house again, never went there. So then my dad took on the property and it just sat empty, this home. However, my sisters lived in these little dormitories near the house. I didn't live in the house, but they lived near it. And my sister Vicky still says, oh yeah, the potbelly stove ghost. So they used to call her the old woman. They would see her too. And she would hang around this old potbelly stove that was still there. But it's funny, we had a renter come in and stay in that home for 20 years after that. And she never told us anything. Maybe she was just keeping it closer to her chest. She was a very spiritual, earthy, amazing woman. And maybe it didn't bother her. And maybe it wasn't a big deal that there was some sort of energy there. But that's the ghost house. We call it the ghost house. It's on our property. The kids walk down to the ghost house. I'll add some pictures to our post, because you guys have to see what it looks like now. It's all falling apart, isn't it, Susie? It's like
now it's just where you go graffiti tagging.
Yeah, we tag it. It's like, the roof is like asbestos. It's like it needs to go. But it's such an interesting location that, of course, my husband's like, I want to shoot something there. I need to shoot something there. But so that has been creepy. And I always wonder, our house is quite a walk away from the ghost house, that I'm like, has the energy shifted up there? Like, what's happening? But tell me about your experience staying at my house, because I know Nick had an experience where he had dragged out a mattress into the main living area. It's this huge glass area. I was like, why didn't he sleep in my bedroom? He could have just slept in the bed, but he was
such
like,
a weirdo. It just gets weird about sleeping in other people's beds. So like, thought it would be better to have the mattress in the full glass. I just like can't glass black. And black and no curtains to shut over it terrifies me anyway. Oh, like my imagination just runs wild.
And he would just live there on his own because Susie was with me. So he would just live on his own with his dog in this big house with the glass looking out to like the expanse of just the bush, Australian bush.
But which he saw loves. Something.
He loves.
Loves. Yeah. But and he would never be afraid normally. Like this coming out of his mouth was like, oh my gosh, for me, because he's not like this at all. Like he's very like black and white and I'm a bloke and it's all fine and bloke yeah. and bloke stuff. And he told me he was like pretty terrified one night. He was out there and he thought he saw someone walking out in the backyard. Like he saw someone walk past the window and it was so real that he literally saw like a figure. Like it wasn't just like I think I saw a shadow or something. Like he saw a full blown person walk past. So he actually thought, I think he thought it was your uncle, Tez.
Oh my God, my uncle.
Like he thought your uncle had come for some reason.
Sort of broken and into the. Broken. Like scaled the fence. And
like in the middle of the night. That's the only thing he could come up with, because he thought he saw something so much so that he thought it was an actual person. He's like, well, maybe it's Tez's uncle for some.
He's just walking around.
Oh my gosh, that's so scary. I need a minute to breathe anyway. All of it. It's killing me. I'm not going to sleep tonight.
Oh no, now I can't hear Susie. For fuck's sake. I can hear you, neither. Sarah. You can't hear Susie either.
I can't either.
What is happening?
You know what my mom said?
What?
My mom said what something is trying to stop one of us from telling one of our stories.
Oh my God.
And I was like, you're so right. Don't say that because it creeps me out. And then I just heard like two booms outside.
No.
Two booms. I heard two booms outside.
No, you didn't hear two booms.
I swear I did.
Oh my God.
It sounded like slamming door. I'm in the dark outside by myself.
Like knocking. Oh, I can hear Susie. Oh my gosh. Guys, this is amazing. Can I just tell you? Your mom is completely right, Sarah. All right, guys, listen. This is happening in real time. We are being haunted by something right now because we weren't able to hear each other. Sarah's mum couldn't come on to record her bit, but you will hear from her in another episode.
Or maybe something, later in this episode. We'll see.
Or maybe later. Or we'll see. But something doesn't want us telling this story. This is really scary. Anyway, okay. So I literally was like, what's going on? Like, I knew Susie had this piece of information about a haunting at my house. I knew it. I could tell because I just know her so well. And I was like, what did Nick say? What do you mean? And she was like, well, you know, she told me the story. And I remember a part of the story because I remember exactly where he said this figure was standing. I've got this atrium, kind of like this glass atrium at the back looking out to the pool area. And he was like right on the corner and turned and looked towards Nick. And Nick was just looking at it and this figure was looking at Nick. And I described the family member, the like physique of the family member that passed away, whose ashes are on our land. And Nick was like, that sounds exactly right. That sounds exactly the stature, the whole thing. And I was like, oh my God, that's so creepy. But then we had this cleaner who was coming, the best, most amazing cleaner in all the land. So great. And then suddenly she wasn't working for us anymore.
I was like, no, oh. stop it.
Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, that's so weird. And this was a few weeks after I had had someone who was coming to house sit, very spiritual, earthy woman. And she spent 3 days there at the house. And then suddenly I got a call from her saying, actually, there's something wrong with my mom and I'm just not going to be able to house sit anymore. And I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. Wow, really? She's like, yeah, I've got to move out. And I was like, oh, crap, I got to try and find someone to house sit. And that's luckily when I could get Nick to come in. And I never knew why she left. But then I started piecing together the pieces because Susie told me that the cleaning lady said that she would put all the toys away at the end of the night. It was getting dark. She was turning off the lights. Like all the toys had been put away. And then she'd walk out into the kitchen, she'd hear something, turn around, come back into the lounge area, and my daughter's pram was like pushed into the middle of the lounge area, was just sitting in the middle of the lounge area.
No, thank you. I'm just going to put a hard no bikes. Thank you right here and tell you that anything kid-related that's moved around just gives me the freakity frackity creeps. I can't do it.
Sarah's like, you know what? I won't be coming to that house in Australia anymore.
Yeah. So no, the kids' toys are moving around and I'm not having it. I can't.
So I'm getting this information and then I'm like, all right, I'm going to get to the bottom of why this first house sitter left my house. And I found out through a mutual friend that she had like ghostly activity and she was creeped out. She was there on her own and she was like, I'm out of here. So she left. So I'm then equipped with all this info. I have Prairie, and Prairie, Mark was leaving like 4 days later after Prairie's birth because he was going to go shoot this movie with Jessica Alba. It was all exciting. And I was like, see ya. I'll just be in postpartum land with my little newborn. And I would put the kids to sleep and I had my mum sleeping inside the house because I was really nervous about hearing these stories. And so I had my mum sleep in the kids' room with the kids because she would sleep up in the dormitories, by the way, by herself. Don't know how she's been doing that for so many years. And I would go in, I'd lock my door and I'd go and like listen to my podcast. I would listen to Stephanie Keith, the Manifesting Podcast, who's one of the guests on our show in a future episode. And she would calm me down because I would start getting the feeling at nighttime, like you were describing the Laurel Canyon house, where I was like, I'm not feeling good. I'm feeling afraid. I'm sensing it. It's so creepy. And I had this newborn baby that I had to protect. So I would lock my door. I'd keep my salt lamp on and I'd fall asleep to this like manifesting spirituality podcast. And one night I am lying in bed and I'm woken up by this.
No.
On the door. And I was like, I woke up and I was like, am I dreaming? What just happened? Oh my God, one of the kids must be at the door. And Poa often leaves her bedroom to walk by herself, by the way, through the dark kitchen and like open the door to come into bed. So I open the door, but as I'm opening the door, I'm remembering like, but that's not what a little kid's knock sounds like. So I open it really slowly and there is nothing there except the trike you were talking about, no. Susie.
Oh my God.
The yellow, you know, the plastic yellow, crappy red trike was sitting in the hallway right there. Here's the thing. I have no idea if I put it back. I don't know if it was there before. In my head, I was like, it was there before. It's not a big deal. There's also no one around. I'm looking in the kitchen. I'm looking down into the dark abyss of this big glass room. And I was like, cool, I'm going back in my room and I am screaming and crying and calling my husband and he needs to quit the Jessica Alba movie. He needs to fly back to Australia and be with me because I will never sleep again. And I had horrible sleep for the next probably 2 weeks after that happened because I just kept expecting it to happen again. But it didn't. And I kept asking, I just kept putting it out to the universe, like, please, I don't want this. I don't want any of this. I didn't ask for this. I can't. I'm dealing with a newborn baby. I'm on my own. I'm solo parenting four children. Like, please don't do this to me right now. And I swear, whatever it was, quietened and sort of listened to me. And I haven't experienced it since. And Susie stayed there after the fact. And I was waiting to hear all the ghost stories. And nothing.
You've ruined me for a while, I'm just going to say.
Sarah, what about you? Tell us your experience. I know you said you have one. She's sweating. She's afraid.
I'm sweating so bad, you guys. I just really can't. There's a million things running through my head right now that's freaking me out. Many times in my life, I've had those times when I'm like starting to fall asleep and then something says my name.
Oh gosh.
And then it pulls me out. Yeah. And it's always really freaked me out. And I have weird, when I was a kid, I used to have such a fear in our house. Like I had such a fear of being of nighttime and like going to bed. And I'd always pull my covers way over my head until I was like sweating underneath my covers because I was so scared. But I had these like reoccurring nightmares. One very specific recurring nightmare. And I would love it if anybody is out there and they want to try to like dissect a dream. I had this dream so much as a child and I haven't had it as an adult, but, I dreamt that my brother was taken away from our family. And the dream always played out like this. I'm riding in a van down a street. And we're getting to this like big place, this big open field, and I have to go rescue my brother. And there's like a helicopter that goes by. And I know that my brother has been taken and kidnapped into this like cult. And I'm a kid. Okay. So I'm having this dream about a cult. I get out and I infiltrate this cult. And I'm sort of like making myself like I'm a part of it. And it kind of now sort of skips forward to where it's nighttime and that's how dreams are, right? And I'm sitting around a bonfire and there's a guy who's like the leader, the cult leader. And I've seen my brother now. He's okay. He's really young. He's 4 years younger than me. And he's okay. So I see that he's alive and I'm like, I've got to figure out how to get him out of here. But I still have to make sure that everybody knows that like I'm part of this cult, right? So I'm sitting around the bonfire. The guy's talking and he is telling the story. And I don't really remember what it was about. And then he turns towards me and he says something like, oh, look at your hand. And I look at my hand. And there's like a shadow from the fire and I see the shadow first and there's something going through my hand. And then I look at my hand and there's like this creature coming through my hand and I pull it up and I look at it and I start screaming and I wake up every time in bed yelling like this with my hand like this in front of my face. And my hand's in front of my face every single time.
We need someone to decipher this.
Someone tell us what that means. So that's one story that just really freaked me out a lot. I was definitely, it was a recurring dream. I had it so many times.
What was the messaging?
What was that? I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know if I had like a fear of of joining a cult or a fear of my brother being stolen. wow. But there was just something that just played out.
It sounds
constantly.
Like the TV show I'm shooting right now.
I know, right? It always freaked me out. But my Esme story is so crazy because, when Esme was like 2.5 years old, she's always been able to talk really well. And she like talks in full sentences by this time. And, she has always said very profound things for such a little one. And, she's also kind of funny.
She's very funny.
Very funny. And, would tell me stories about how, she has like another family and her brothers, both names are Lizard and they live in Portland and like all this stuff, right? So, but there's this one time when she's about to get into the shower and I'm standing in the bathroom and she's getting into the shower and she turns around and she looks at me and she goes, gosh, you were the cutest baby. And I go, what? And she goes, you were just, I would hold you and I would look at you. Oh, you were so cute and you're so sweet. And I was like, Esme, what are you saying?
Grandma?
And she goes, well, I used to be your mom.
What?
And I was like, you did? What do you mean? And she was like, I was your mom. And then and then she starts to get in the shower and was like, wait, what do you mean that you were my mom? And she turns around and she goes, what? And I go, you just told me that you used to be my okay, I'm getting like goosebumps. you just told me that you used to be my mom. And she goes, No, I didn't. What? What are you talking about?
Oh my God.
And then
Sarah.
She just starts taking a shower. And I'm like, I tell Eric's mom. Eric's mom's so freaked out. I tell Eric, I'm like telling everybody, like, what happened, you know? And then I related again to Esme, and Esme was like, I didn't. Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about. And she has like elaborate stories about her other mother and her other dad and her brothers and like all this stuff that she kind of has played out. But this was a moment that was very specific where she looked right at me and told me like how she used to look at me and hold me. And I was like, so in another life, our souls were together, but she was my mom and I was her baby.
Oh my goodness. Do you know what? I love that so much. We talk about that with the kids a lot. Like Bodhi always says, mom in a different life, like we were different souls, but we were like brother and sister. And I have read a lot of stuff about kids recalling past lives, but they often say that when you find the souls in your life that you really connect with, it's because it's not the first time you've been together, but yes. Oftentimes it's been in a different dynamic. So you saying that makes it me totally believe that there is something to that, that maybe she really was your mother in a past life and you're just destined to always find each other in some capacity.
Yeah. Well, it definitely freaked me out.
That's like the romanticized idea of it.
But I love it. I would much rather imagine it, that it was that and not some like poltergeist that had infiltrated her body for a moment.
To,
like,
I know.
That part I do not want to tap into. I was like, get out. Okay, I'm walking away. I'll get your towel. I'll be right back.
What a wild story. Crazy. I mean, guys, that is unbelievable.
I don't know if I could handle one more spooky aspect. I cannot wait for my mom to come on and tell her stories because they're just creepy. And it's also just really fun to have mom on to chat with us. So we'll.
And I have another one that we can do for the second half of this episode, yes. Whether this is part one and that's part two, because I have another story, a personal story that happened to me and Bodhi and stuff. And we'll do that with your mom.
Perfect. Okay. Well, Susie, thank you so much for joining us for this spooky episode, the first of our spooky series.
Spooktober.
The whole month of October, we're going to make it kind of creepy and tell all these wonderful tales. And we cannot wait to read the listener tales that we have from all of you. So stay tuned for that episode coming up too this month. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Susie, for joining us.
Susie!
You've been listening to The Mother Days, and you can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to podcasts. You can always email us at themotherdays@gmail.com. What else, Tez?
Please review and rate. It really, really, really helps our podcast get out there, and then we can continue doing this and we just spread the Mother Days love. That would be so helpful to us. We appreciate all the amazing feedback and see you next week.
See you next week for more spooky days.
You.
Bye. All right. Thanks, guys.